Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make, and our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Let's listen in now as part two is already in progress. Now, if we turn back to Luke 1, into the New Testament, 1,500 years later, that other woman, Mary, who was not a slave like Jochebed was, she was living under Roman occupation. She's under the surveillance of Herod because Herod's out there looking for all the babies, trying to find out if there's any new children that have been born. He's heard about Jesus. He's seeking for all male children to be taken away. And under that social structure during that time, again, she's facing death because she's an unmarried woman, although she's betrothed, but she's unmarried and now she's pregnant with a child. Again, she said, yes, she's had faith in the Lord and agreed, yes, I'm your servant, please use me. And so under that Mosaic law, she would have been subject to death because of what happened. But the angel Gabriel didn't come to her and offer her this like really comfortable assignment. He challenged her. Hey, you're going to have to face the world with this. I need you to trust that what God's doing is important and that the child that you will be carrying will have ramifications and impact on the rest of the entire population of this earth. And so before she understood how any of this was going to work, before she really kind of processed what was going on, I mean, again, she was 13 to 16 years old. I mean, can you imagine the idea of one of your children at 13 to 16 having to make this really challenging, like make this make sense for themselves? That must have been incredibly hard. So before she spoke to her parents, before she spoke to Joseph, this decision was made. And so sometimes that happens, right? Like where we have to make decisions before we can have a chance to go to somebody else and seek counsel. Sometimes we don't have anybody else to talk to, especially when it comes to our kids. Like sometimes there are split second decisions that have to be made that we have to choose in that moment. And so we're seeing a mother understand that she has faith to act. Maybe you're a mother who's operating in the absence of your own mother. So maybe you're a new mom, but your mother's not around, or maybe you didn't know your mother. And so you're doing the best you can to be the mother that you can be. That's challenging. And so just like her at 13 to 16 years old, she's entering into a new phase, a new season of life that she'd never probably pictured herself being in at the time. But sometimes we have to operate in the absence of clear instruction. And so that's where we see this faith, her stepping out in faith, and Gabriel asks her for that answer. In Luke 1:35, it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen as you have said. She said, yes, I trust God. I will carry this child. So that Greek word that she says there is doula or doula. So it means bond slave, like a person with no rights, no personal agenda, right? So this means that she had no claim to her life. And so she was not surrendering because she had no options. She was surrendering because she trusted God who was asking her to do something. And so in Latin, that doula, what we hear today, the modern day doula, comes from the Latin and it means the one who serves. And so the doulas out there in the world that are helping mothers give birth, that is all tied all the way back here to this particular verse. And so just, again, a little fun fact there. And so we see Jochebed and Mary acting under those conditions of danger and a real cost to them. They both took very deliberate and thoughtful steps. Not, this wasn't reckless. This wasn't just, you know, on a whimsical thing, but this is intentional trust in the Lord. They're having intentional faith. And they both acted on it. And so Mary kind of asks that one clarifying question, and then she surrenders. The point that I want to make there is that to have faith doesn't mean we need to have a full understanding of what the outcome is going to be. Although sometimes we want to know what the outcome will be. And so after looking at that, we can also start to build the picture of a mother's faith. And when we talk about it releases what it loves, so why that point's important here is that that kind of faith, like where a mother is have such a nurturing heart and they're caring for their children, there's a faith action that needs to take place that is going to kind of like speak louder than words. And it's like, we're going to see this as a portrait of faith later on in Hebrews, but sometimes they have to let go. And so as a mother is releasing the thing that she loves most as a child, you have to make that deliberate decision and let it go. And so the application for the group here, not just the women, would be, I want to ask you one of the hardest questions, I think in my opinion, is what's in your basket? So Jochebed had the child, her son, and she made a deliberate decision. She was faithful in her acts and she gave it to the Lord. What's in your basket? What is it right now in your life? Maybe your children are older and life has progressed in different ways, but what is the one thing right now that you're holding on to that you don't want to give to God? Do you have fear over something? Are you battling pride? What is it that we're struggling with? What is it that's in your basket that you haven't released to the Lord yet? Where have you not acted in faith? So as we're trying to kind of control the outcomes of things in our lives, because I would say most people are probably guilty of that in some ways, when we see the contrast here with the son, is there anything that you've really been able to fully trust God with? Have you ever been to that point where you have been able to fully trust God? And if you haven't, take the time to reflect on that and say, you know, now's the time, right? There are things that you're probably struggling with that maybe you're holding on to that you can fully trust God with this and you can let it go. And so Jochebed, again, places her son into that basket, sends him into the Nile. She didn't know that Pharaoh's daughter was going to find him. She didn't know what Pharaoh's plan would be. She didn't know that Moses would be raised in the palace. She didn't, or educated in the finest schools in Egypt. She didn't know. She didn't know that he'd be equipped with all the tools that he needs to make him a leader capable of confronting Pharaoh himself. She didn't know any of that. She just opened her hands and let him go in faith. So let's take a look at what God did with that. So within moments of releasing that child, Miriam, Moses' older sister, again, she's on the bank. She's on lookout, right? She watches Pharaoh's daughter discover that basket. And she watches the princess feel compassion for that crying child. And then she steps forward with one of the most powerful or audacious sentences out there is that in the entire Old Testament, it says, you found this baby. Should I go call a Hebrew woman who's nursing to nurse the boy for you? Think about the context of this. The Pharaoh has ordered that every child that's a male be thrown into the Nile. And now this Hebrew slave girl is asking, hey, do you want me to go find someone to nurse this child? I mean, look at the juxtaposition there. Like the fact that, you know, the answer should have been no, right, from the order that was given. But because Pharaoh's daughter found Moses to be so alluring or enamoring in that moment that she just couldn't let go of it. And so here's the sister. She throws it out there. This Hebrew slave girl walks up to the princesses of Egypt and says, hey, I'll find a nursemaid for this boy that Pharaoh wanted to kill. So imagine that situation. Nobody could have predicted that that would happen. And so she, again, Miriam standing there listening for God's answer. And then God answers. Because we see in scripture that she says, take the child and nurse him for me. So that's God's answer. He answered Jochebed and Miriam in that moment. So the woman took the boy and nursed him. So God gave Moses back to his mother because she trusted and had faith in him. She released him and God gave him right back. She got to nurse her own son. She got to hold him. She got to pour out her whole faith into him, the Hebrew faith, in those early years before he went out to live in the palace. She actually got paid to raise her own child that Pharaoh wanted dead. And so God has this kind of like holy sense of irony in this perspective, because has anybody ever experienced that yourselves? Like where something so incredible happens where you can't help but laugh a little bit, like, man, God, you really pulled out the rug under that one. That should have never happened. But, you know, praise God for the things that he does like that. She, again, she had no idea what the outcome would be. And now she got paid to raise her son and pour into him until he was moved to the palace. So Mary's moment on the flip side of this was a little bit different. Jochebed's release of Moses was pretty momentary in the context of all of this, because she sent him into the Nile, or released him into the Nile, and she got him back almost immediately, okay, to nurse him and raise him until he's older. For Mary, it didn't happen that way. It happened over the course of 33 years. This was a slow release of her child, okay? So she held her son close. She nursed him. She watched him grow into the boy or the man that he was. She fled with him to Egypt. She searched for him for 3 days when he was in the temple. When he stayed behind in the temple, and he was 12. I can imagine the concern looking for Jesus. So she watched him walk away from Nazareth at 30 and begin his ministry that would take him further and further away from her. So she lived a whole life with him, and now she's having to let go of him in a very different perspective. If you think about the military or children that are moving away from home, if your kids head off to the military, that's 18 years of, or 20 years or however long, holding in caring for that child, and then they're going to depart your home. That's very different. And so then she came to a hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, right? The skull. And she stood there because he was continuously moved further and further away from her. And so in John chapter 19, it tells us that standing by the cross was Jesus with his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So they're standing there when Christ is on the cross, they're on the Golgotha, and they're watching this happen. She's not running away. She's standing there the whole time. And disciples have abandoned him. They're decided to preserve themselves. And when the crowds who had shouted, Hosanna, as he was entering into Jerusalem prior to the celebration, at that point, now they're yelling, crucify him. So a lot has happened in this short period of time. And so Mary, again, stood there with faith in God, watching what was to happen. She carried him, she nursed him, she watched him walk on the water. She heard all the reports of him out there preaching. She followed him to Jerusalem for his final Passover. And imagine the thoughts going through her mind and all of those memories of those 30 years of raising him up, those 32 years coming into the 33rd year. Now she's watching him die on that cross. And so she's having to exercise a different type of faith. That type of death for Christ was reserved for criminals, that he would be crucified. But with every cry that was happening on the cross was fulfilling a prophecy. And so when we look at this, Simeon says something very important. This prophecy that he had in Luke chapter 2, verse 35 says, speaking to Mary, and he says, a sword will pierce your own soul, when they were preparing to circumcise him. This moment now, her soul is being pierced as Christ is on the cross. This was the sword that was piercing her soul. And she's watching it happen in agony. But Jesus, as a son, looks down upon his mother because of all the ways that she's cared for him and looked over him over the years. And he honors his mother. And it says that Jesus looked down and he saw his mother, and he did something that tells us exactly how God views the roles of mothers. John chapter 19, verse 26, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple that he loved standing there, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So Jesus, in those final hours of his suffering, recognizes the labor and the love that his mother has poured into him all of his life, enabling him to fulfill what God's will is for him. He holds the fifth commandment that was preached of the 10. He honored his mother. He made provision for her future, and he ensured that she would be cared for even when he died. So that's the ultimate example of honoring your mother that you can. So the scripture says, honor your mother and your father. Are we doing that? Are we holding a grudge against somebody that's raised us? Are we unable to put our emotions aside? Are we caring for our mothers and the fathers the way that scripture asks us to? As Christ was on the cross, the last thing he's thinking about is caring for this woman who poured everything out of herself and her being for her son. So Mary releases her son to the cross, and she had no choice in that moment other than, like she's done 1,000 other times, to just release him and say, Lord, your will be done. This is a very common pattern in scripture, and that when you release your problems or your situations or even your sons or children to God, he's going to redeem. And so this mother's faith that shapes that child for a purpose that can't always see, this is pretty clear. Here's something in motherhood that the world probably consistently underestimates. I myself would be an example of that, right? So growing up as a young man, whether it be my mother or my grandmother, whoever is pouring into me at that time, I severely underestimated the amount of love that they poured into me as I was doing all the things that I shouldn't be doing at that time in my life. So the years that they endured are not always ordinary years. It's not always easy and peaceful. Sometimes it's very challenging. And so when Moses was returned to Jochebed for her to nurse him, she wasn't just simply feeding him, right, at that time. As we see in Proverbs 31, she was nursing him. She was pouring her faith into him. She was sharing her history with him, the history of the Hebrew people. She was sharing stories about God and what she was trusting upon him. She's telling him about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and she's sharing all of this faith with him. She was planting a root to identify, to build in him a root that was so deep that no education in the palace or Egyptian influences over the 40 years could ever pull out of him. And so the application for that today in the world is, as mothers are pouring into their children every single day, combating what the world is telling them is right, when it is in fact against scripture, that doesn't go unnoticed. Just like we saw with Moses, he held on to that and he absorbed that. So my encouragement for the moms is just like, keep pouring, because in the end, it will flesh out. Like, you trust God that what you're doing, even though there may not be an immediate response from your child, in the end, as long as you raise them and you've tried to do so in the best way you can with scripture as your root and God in Christ as your compass, it won't return empty. Keep pouring. That's my encouragement. Please keep pouring against the world. And so he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as we know, but he chose to identify with the slaves, so his people, over the throne. So isn't that the goal, right? Really is to impart that upon our kids. So Jochebed's faithfulness really kind of played out and benefited, obviously, the whole faith. But what you're doing in the small years, the days that seem ordinary, it's still important. So just don't get lulled to sleep by the everyday pattern of life. Mary does the same thing. She pours into him constantly. There's a huge gap in scripture from the time that he's in the temple to when he sets apart on his ministry about his day-to-day life. And obviously God intended that. But it's no secret that the growth that happened with Christ, he learned his father's trade. He respected his mother. He learned all those things. He lived a whole life in scripture that we don't see between 12 and 30. So don't think for a second that Mary wasn't mothering him and doing the things that she would have been doing for any other child at that time. She herself was an example of that faith, because she carried the scripture with her that she learned all the way through her life. And she pours that into her son, Christ. And after, you know, the records show that in Luke, there's kind of like a period that's kind of missing, but Luke records something that most readers kind of rush past. In Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52, it says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all the things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and people." And so the picture there is that she's continued to pour into him, you know, the eternal Son of God, even when Christ was standing there knowing that what his future held, he was still obedient to his parents. And so we see that in scripture. He honored Joseph. He honored Mary. He sat at their table. He learned from them. He learned Joseph's trade. And he grew up in a real household. And so continued to pray for him as the days went on. So mother's constant prayers are really an example or a portrait for all of us on what we should continue to do. We see mothers do this constantly, be praying over their children. And it's no secret that there's some really strong moms out there that are some serious prayer warriors for their kids, because as young, youthful children, we do silly things. And I'm thankful for all the moms that go out there and pour into their kids. They pray for their kids every day. So that mother's faith that they're imparting upon the children, we see Jochebed having the faith. We see Mary pouring into Jesus throughout his entire life up until he's 30. That changes people. That changes children. And so I encourage you to keep doing that and demonstrating that for your children. And so that perseverance of the mother's faith, we see that persevere through the things that are out of their control. And so no one warned Jochebed on what was going to happen to Moses. No one told her that that son that she nursed under the Egyptian rule would one day be a fugitive from the same place in which he was finding refuge. Nobody told her that at 40 years old, he's going to kill an Egyptian and flee to the wilderness. She didn't know any of that. She was just being faithful. And what we do know is this, that she released him. She molded him the best she could in the time that she had with him. She couldn't control what was going to happen, but her faith was counted worthy in Hebrews 11. And we see that captured there. God remembered what she did, and God will always remember what a mother does in faith, even no one else sees that. Now, Mary, on the other hand, was present for almost everything that Christ did, and it cost her accordingly also. And so again, back when Simeon told her, hey, that sword is going to pierce your soul, she endured a very different picture because she was with him the whole time. She saw every incident that happened with him. She saw him on the cross. Where Jochebed may not have been there, Mary was. She didn't break. She didn't quit. She didn't try and hide her son. She stood at the cross and she was there for the resurrection. She was in the upper room in Jerusalem after leaving the Mount of Olives. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us that they were all continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. With her being in the upper room during that resurrection, after the ascension, she's still praying. She's still part of the community. She's still trusting in the Lord. She just watched her son be killed, but she's trusting that God is continuing to have a plan for him. She's waiting on God's next move. And so she did not run away from the cross. She didn't say, I've had enough. I'm out of here. Things are getting too hard, too frustrating. I've suffered enough. She didn't just abandon her son. She didn't abandon her faith. She stood strong and she kept going. She was likely there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. And now all of that has been poured out upon her. And so Mary persevered. So what an excellent lesson for us in the perseverance of faith is that sometimes you need to persevere in the young years. Sometimes you're going to see the end of the outcome for your children, but others you're not. But if we have a strong faith in the Lord and we trust in him, as these two women gave us their testimonies in scripture, God used their testimonies and he put them in this book for us to learn from, that they had steadfast faith. They never wavered. They trusted the Lord fully and he rewarded them, and they had brought their children back to them through their faith. Mary spent 30 years. She knew him better than anybody else on earth. And the last thing that she spoke in scripture, she tells the servants at the wedding, when they're talking about the wine, and he says, woman, my time has not come. The last thing she says is, do whatever he tells you. And so she knew the power of Christ and that he couldn't do what's wrong. She had faith in him. She trusted in him. She'd been tied up in him his whole life, raising him. So that, again, that testimony of that persevering mother who's seen it all the way to the end, she's seeing the fruit of her faith when Christ is working his first miracle. She's there and she's present for that. She has seen it through. So that perseverance of faith that we've seen in these two ladies, both women kept their faith even though they couldn't control their story. That's the definition of perseverance. And we see that time and time again. Although there's only two people that we're talking about today in scripture, I know there's many other women that are either listening or in this room now that have persevered through their faith. They've made deliberate actions. They've had to let go and allow God to control certain things in their life. They've chosen to impart their lives and their wisdom and their faith in telling the stories and praying for their children on a daily basis. So in Proverbs 31, when it says, Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. That is one of the greatest gifts that a mother gives, in my opinion and in my observations, to their children, is that when they can impart their wisdom and their love upon their children with kind words, it goes the distance. And it's not something that their children will forget.
As we close part two, we pray this message has encouraged you to reflect on the faithfulness of God and the quiet strength of godly mothers. When we look at the mother of Moses and Mary, the mother of Jesus, we see two women who were called into difficult and uncertain circumstances, yet trusted the Lord with what was most precious to them. Neither knew the full plan of God, but both walked by faith, and the Lord used their obedience in ways far greater than they could have imagined. Whether you are a mother, have been blessed by a godly mother, or are simply seeking to trust God more deeply, may we all be reminded that faithfulness matters. God is sovereign, His purposes are good, and He often works through simple acts of obedience for His glory. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations, for we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.